Welcome to Sun Sounds of Arizona. You are at Southern Living. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. I'll be reading from the Southern Living magazine, the June-July issue. And I've got, again this week, a lot of recipes because I know July is a time for lots of entertainment, vacations, and family time, friends, all that good stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading. I hope I've got something here of interest to you. So let's get going. Last week I mentioned there are four excellent. Today I'm going to continue with the sauce recipes. I have two more I want to read to you, and then I'm going to give you the recipe they suggest to use these sauces on. So the first one I'm going to start with is Owensboro barbecue sauce. Whisk together 1 cup of distilled white vinegar, 3/4 cup Worcestershire sauce, 3/4 cups ketchup, 6 tablespoons light brown sugar, 1 teaspoon each hot sauce, kosher salt, and black pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon ground allspice in a large saucepan until combined. Bring to a simmer over medium, reduce heat to medium-low, and cook, stirring often until sauce is thick enough to coat the back of a spoon. And that takes about 15 to 20 minutes. Remove from heat and serve warm. Active prep time is 10 minutes. Total time is 25 minutes. And it makes about 2 1/3 cups. So hold on to that recipe because the next one coming up is Owensboro style lamb chops. Barbecue from this part of Kentucky uses a vinegar-rich, thin, savory, and peppery dip that's traditionally served with pit-cooked mutton. Here we pair it with lamb and trade the pit for a conventional backyard grill. Active prep time is 15 minutes, total time is 45 minutes, and it serves 4. You will need 8 Frenched lamb rib chops, about 1 to 1.5 pounds total, 1 1/2 teaspoons kosher salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 1/2 cups Owensboro barbecue sauce, I just told you the recipe, divided. Sprinkle lamb chops with kosher salt and pepper. Let stand at room temperature 30 minutes. Meanwhile, preheat grill to medium-high, that's about 400 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Place 1/2 cup Owensboro barbecue sauce in a small bowl and brush lamb chops on both sides with sauce. Place lamb chops on oiled grates, grilled, uncovered, and undisturbed until grill marks appear, about 2 to 3 minutes. Flip lamb chops, cook uncovered and undisturbed until grill marks appear on the second side, about 2 minutes. Carefully brush with some of the remaining sauce and flip again. Cook uncovered until an InstaRead thermometer inserted into the thickest portion of lamb chops registers 100 degrees Fahrenheit for rare or 130 degrees Fahrenheit for medium rare, about 2 minutes more. Discard any remaining sauce used for basting. Transfer lamb chops to a platter and let rest for about 5 minutes. Serve immediately with remaining 1 cup of barbecue sauce. So you've got a copy of the recipe for the sauce. You're all set to go to do some cooking a lamb. Our next recipe is for Lexington-style barbecue sauce, and that's going to go with our next recipe to follow. Stir together 1 1/2 cups apple cider vinegar, 2/3 cups ketchup, 1/2 cup water, 1/4 cup light brown sugar, 1 teaspoon each kosher salt and black pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon cayenne pepper in a large saucepan until combined. Bring to a simmer over medium. Reduce the heat to medium-low and cook, stirring often, until sauce is thick enough to coat the back of a spoon, about 20 to 25 minutes. Remove from heat and served warm. Active prep time, 10 minutes. Total preparation cooking time, 30 minutes, makes 1 1/2 cups. So, next is our recipe to use this wonderful sauce. The next recipe is easy, slow cooker, Lexington-style pulled pork. Lexington is the epicenter of Western North Carolina barbecue, also known as Piedmont style, which distinguishes itself from the other half of the state by adding ketchup to its signature sweet and tangy sauce. Active prep time, 10 minutes. Total time, 6 hours, 10 minutes. And serves 8. Start with 2 large sweet onions cut into half-inch slices, about 6 cumps. You need a 5 to 6 pound boneless pork shoulder, 2 tablespoons seasoning blend, such as Kinder's all-purpose seasoning, a teaspoon of kosher salt, 1 10.5-ounce can of condensed chicken broth, 8 hamburger buns. Lexington-style barbecue sauce, I just read you the recipe, and dill pickle chips. Place onions in a lightly greased 6-quart slow cooker. Rub pork with seasoning blend and salt. Place over onions in slow cooker and pour the broth over pork. Cover and cook until meat shreds easily using a fork, about 6 hours on high or 8 to 10 hours on low. Transfer pork to a platter. Shred using 2 forks, discarding large pieces of fat. Serve on buns with barbecue sauce and pickles, and you're ready to go. Recipe that I'm going to share is kind of moving away from that protein section and going off to those sides. I'll bring the beans is the article that I found. This is for a 5-bean calico salad, and it serves 8. Active time to prep for 25 minutes. Total time to make 25 minutes plus 1 hour chilling. You start with an 8-ounce package fresh green beans trimmed and cut crosswise into 1-inch pieces, about 2 cups. You'll need a bowl of ice water. Into another bowl, put in 1/2 cup of chow chow, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons of honey, 2 teaspoons of coarse-grained mustard, 1 1/2 teaspoons kosher salt, 2 garlic cloves grated, 1 15-ounce can chickpeas drained and rinsed, 1 15-ounce can red kidney beans drained and rinsed, 1 15-ounce can pinto beans drained and rinsed, 1 15-ounce can black-eyed peas drained and rinsed, 4 sweet mini peppers sliced into rings, that'll equal about 1 cup. 1 cup cooked, chopped, thick-cut bacon, about 8 to 10 slices. 6 tablespoons chopped fresh dill and or basil, plus more for garnish. Bring a pot of water to a boil, add green beans and cook until tender crisp, about 2 minutes. Drain and transfer to a bowl of ice water and let cool 5 minutes. Drain and pat dry. Whisk together chow chow, oil, vinegar, honey, mustard, salt, and garlic in a large bowl until well combined. Add the drained green beans, chickpeas, kidney beans, pinto beans, black-eyed peas, sliced peppers, bacon, and dill and basil, and fold until well combined. Cover the salad. Chill until flavors meld, at least 1 hour or up to 3 days, stirring occasionally. Serve chilled or at room temperature. Garnish with more dill and basil. Well, it looks like the star of the show is a recipe that comes from an article entitled Pick a Pattern. Celebrate America's 250th birthday with a quilt-inspired pie. This was written by Alana Hatlani. All over the South, from storied artists like the G's Bend quilters to talented home crafters, folks have been turning fabric scraps into heirlooms for centuries. This dessert follows suit, using dough to form familiar and delicious patterns. To make a pie like our photo, and you need to see the Bake and Look box in the magazine, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. Or piece together your own design using triangles, squares, diamonds, or free-form shapes. There are no rules. Let creativity be your guide. So my first thought when I thought about this patchwork pie is how we're going to do it. And the explanation here in this recipe will take you step by step on how to make the most beautiful pie and give you easy steps to follow to get it wonderful. So the first section is entitled Bake the Look. Cut two 2.5-inch squares and 4 2-inch squares of pie dough. Have each diagonally to produce 4 large and 8 small triangles, and bake using the following recipe that I'm going to share with you. One suggestion is to arrange 4 small triangles in the center of the pie, forming a square, and match the remaining small triangles tip to tip to connect the pattern using the large triangles. And they put this in a circular shape. It's very interesting. So, to start the look, patchwork pie, active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 2 hours, 10 minutes, plus 2 hours standing. This will serve 8. You need 3 9-inch refrigerated pie crusts from 2 14.1-ounce package, softened per package directions. You'll need 1/3 cup of all-purpose flour, plus more for the work surface, 1 cup of granulated sugar, 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 tablespoon grated lemon zest, plus 1 tablespoon fresh juice from 1 lemon. Divide that. You also need 5 cups of mixed berries like blueberries, blackberries, and raspberries. Preheat oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Stack 2 pie crusts on a lightly floured work surface. Roll into a 12-inch round. Fit dough inside a 9-inch pie plate, pressing firmly into the bottom and up the sides. Fold overhang under to form a crust edge and crimp as desired. Freeze until firm, about 20 minutes. Meanwhile, place remaining pie crust on a lightly floured work surface. Using a paring knife or square cookie cutter, cut out desired quilt pieces. Place on a parchment-lined baking sheet and freeze while par-baking crust. Reserve remaining dough scraps for another use. Line frozen pie crust with parchment. Fill with pie weights. And you can bake that for 20 minutes. Remove the weights and parchment. Return the pie crust to the oven and bake until bottom appears dry, about 5 minutes. Set aside and let cool. Remove the quilt pieces from the freezer. Cover with more parchment. Top with a second baking sheet to help the pieces hold their shape and bake 10 minutes. Remove the top baking sheet and parchment. Return to the oven and bake until the tops are lightly browned, about 3 to 5 minutes, then let cool. Reduce the oven temperature to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Stir together sugar, flour, cinnamon, salt, and lemon zest in a large bowl. Add berries and lemon juice. Toss gently to combine. Let stand, stirring often until berries release their juices for about 15 minutes, and spoon filling into the crust. Bake until the filling is bubbly and thickened, about 1 hour, shielding edges as needed to prevent over-browning. Remove from oven and let stand until mostly cooled but still warm, about 2 hours. Arrange the quilt pieces bottom side up on top of pie in the desired pattern. There is no perfect pattern and there is no prescribed pattern. It's just what appeals to you and what you can start making as a family tradition going forward. End of story. You are at Sun Sounds of Arizona and listening to the Southern Living Magazine. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer broadcaster. Continuing on, I'm going to switch over to another section of the Southern Living Magazine, and I'm going to go to the Locals Guide and look at regional favorites in various parts of the South. Make a splash. Take a break from the heat at these cool hotel pools. This was written by Susan B. Barnes. And we're going to start with the Colony Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Step onto the pool deck at the Colony in Palm Beach, and you'll feel like you've been transported onto the set of Apple TV's Palm Royale. Just a few paces from the sand, the heated, Florida-shaped saltwater pool sparkles in the sunshine. Accented by scalloped umbrellas, ample lounge chairs, and playful patterned tile, it's a charming atmosphere. Guests can pick up the latest issues of their favorite publications from the Poolside Press, a magazine cabana, to flip through while enjoying cocktails and culinary delights from Swifties, built in 1947. The hotel is as popular with discerning travelers today as it was in the past when the likes of Judy Garland, Lena Horne, Frank Sinatra, Sophia Loren, and John Lennon. On to our next adventure, Miraval Austin Resort and Spa. This is in Austin, Texas. Soak up views of the rolling hillsides when you slip into the infinity pool at Miraval Austin Resort and Spa, a sprawling property that is seamlessly integrated into the Texas Hill Country, only about 20 miles from the Texas Capitol. After a day full of activities at the inclusive wellness retreat, from hiking to stand-up paddleboarding to yoga to the various expert-led fitness classes, go for a swim and let the last of your pre-vacation cares disappear. Regionally inspired, nibbles and drinks can be delivered right to you, so feel free to spend as much time as you like marveling at the water as it continuously cascades over the pool's edge. Our next hotel is Hotel St. Vincent. This is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Tucked into the courtyard of the eclectic Hotel St. Vincent in New Orleans' Lower Garden District is an idyllic escape from the Louisiana humidity. Surrounded by swaying palms, candy-striped lounge chairs with green umbrellas, and the hotel's red brick walls that date back to 1861, you're all but guaranteed to sink into a state of bliss when you're in need of refreshments. Pop over to the Paradise Lounge for all-day snacks and sips. With just 75 rooms and suites and plenty of big easy attractions right outside the front door, you might find that you have the pool all to yourself for a midday recharge. Our next location is the Brute Hotel, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The pool at the Brute Hotel is kept at a comfortable 84 degrees year-round and is open from 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. 7 days a week, so you can take a dip at your convenience. It sets an inviting scene with lounge chairs, tables, shaded by umbrellas, and a living wall that's bursting with greenery and blooming flowers. Round out your experience with a fruity drink and chef driven tacos from Rosa. Okay, we're going to go move on to another location, and this is from the Locals Guide, Regional Favorites. Make a splash. And this is down in Auburn, Alabama, the Laurel Hotel and Spa. The rooftop pool and private cabanas at the Laurel Hotel and Spa, Alabama's first AAA Five Diamond Hotel, not only provide eagle-eye views of Auburn University, but also a sensory experience. Slip out of the water to wander in the adjacent 4,000-plus square feet of edible gardens, which are a, quote, real world, end quote, classroom for the school's horticulture students. Then delight your senses of taste and smell by ordering from Waltz on the Roof, where you can sample innovative cocktails like a margarita made with lemongrass and sea salt foam, and tasty tapas like braised short rib sliders. My next location is the Greenbrier. This is in Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Frequently called, quote, America's Resort, end quote, the Greenbrier boasts two pools that have long drawn people to the iconic property. In fact, the indoor one actually opened a year before the hotel. It was built in 1912 as part of a new mineral bath building that housed spa and medical facilities. The thousands of tiles that were impressed upon the pool's 18-inch thick concrete walls remain today, and it can hold up to 188,000 gallons of water, which is pumped directly into the resort's reservoir from Alvon Springs, located about 12 miles away. The Greenbriar's outdoor infinity pool, open seasonally, is not only a wonderful place to splash around, but also gives stunning peaks at the golf courses and the Allegheny Mountains. Next move is over to Trailbourne Surf and Sound in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. The generous pool deck at Trailbourne has space to spread out and stay a while. When you want to take a break from the sands, stake your claim on a lounge chair and request towel service, or splurge on a private cabana. Making time here even better is the Blockade Surf Bar, offering lunch and dinner, frozen drinks, and local draft beer, all with direct beach access. On to the editor's fave, Hotel Bardo in Savannah, Georgia. Soft hues of peach, sage, and tangerine perfectly complement the inviting turquoise water at Savannah's Hotel Bardo. Settle into a lounge chair or cabana, enjoy a picnic on the adjoining lawn, or pull up a seat at Bar BB. If you forgot your bathing suit or just want something new for the season, simply pop into Shop Bardo or make an appointment at the on-site Fifth Avenue Club Savannah for a personal shopping and styling experience that will outfit you with just the right look. Get the most out of this sanctuary by booking a premium pool view suite where you can spy postcard-worthy vistas from your window. Our last hotel is named Keswick Hall. This was located in Keswick, Virginia, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains at about 2.5 hours from Washington, D.C., is Keswick Hall and its adult-only Infinity Edge Horizon Pool. Featuring serene gardens, the full Cry golf course, and the Southwest Mountains as its backdrop, the pool has overlapping 3 and 8 foot waterfalls that seem to flow into the impressive landscape, creating a meditative sound and carrying away all your worries and cares with them. Thoughtful lighting in and around the water sets the mood for a dramatic scene when the sun goes down. End of story. Our next story is entitled Feeling Woozy. One must have the proper furniture to pass out in style. This is written by Rick Bragg. I think of my life sometimes as one big cluttered, dusty antique store, not the upscale kind where you might purchase a Victorian inkwell, but the more raggedy sort where you can buy a coconut carved like a monkey's head. My life is filled with junk and treasures, priceless, useless, and strange. Maybe it's more like a pawn shop. Anyway, I digress. Not long ago, I was wandering around one of the tonier antiques emporiums, mostly so I could roll my eyes at the hefty price tags, and I heard quite by accident the following conversation. "May I help you?" the shop owner asked the young woman. "Why, yes," replied the customer. "I am looking for a swooning couch." And off they went like that made any sense at all. Later, I looked it up. A swooning couch, also called a fainting couch, is like a chaise with a low back and one arm, or something with no arm. They were originally made so fancy people could pass out cold without knocking themselves in the head. I learned these pieces of furniture became popular in the 19th century when tight corsets were in vogue. Apparently, the fashionable undergarments restricted blood flow to such a degree that women actually fainted on a regular basis. I think, most likely, this was a condition common only to rich folks who could also afford plenty of smelling salts. "Is the lady of the house home?" a caller might ask. "Madam is in," the butler would reply, "but she is indisposed." Is she ill? The caller would inquire. No, the butler would say, we just need to loosen her corset. In the entire history of my people, I don't believe that a single solitary woman has ever swooned, and if any of them were passed out on a couch, it probably meant something different altogether. I asked my mother if she was familiar with the term swoon. Is that a real word? She answered. Yes, I said. Uh-huh, she replied. We discussed this and, after a great while, came to the conclusion that our kin, the farmers and working folks of the Deep South, do swoon on occasion. They just call it something else. We fall out, she said. Use it in a sentence, I replied. Well, when you're listening to a good preacher, you can get so full of the Spirit that you fall out, she explained. I've seen people do this and then lie on the floor for a long time. They might become overwhelmed by things going on around them, but still not actually fall out. They almost do, in which case we would say they like to have fell out. This can also occur in any period of stress, such as during extreme heat, as in, Lord, I got so hot shopping at the outlet mall that I like to have fell out. It has happened to me many times, for instance, when I found out what it costs to get wind insurance in Fairhope, Alabama, or heard the sticker price on a new Toyota Tundra. It is fortunate that I only like to have fell out, since I lacked the appropriate furniture for doing it correctly. I'm 6'2", so it's an awfully long way down to earth. End of story. That wraps it up for Southern Living today. I hope I've read to you something of interest. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for East Valley News coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.